Hey, good morning, Central Park. It's great to be with you this morning. You know, this is our last Sunday. Next Sunday, we're back together. We are going to be back in the building, back in the facility. And so we just want to let you know that we're still going to have the masks. You know, we're still going to social distance. We're going to do the best we can. But we feel that we're in a position now to finally come back and be part of the congregation. So we're looking forward to that. You know, we understand that it's been a difficult journey, but we're getting there. So thank you for bearing with us through this journey. It's been a learning experience. We've been on this roller coaster ride. We have just truly been kind of experiencing this in a whole different way. It's kind of given us some opportunities to do things differently and advance some of our technological skills, which we are not there yet, but we're getting there. So thanks again for joining us today. And we're going to be continuing on in this series. We're doing the adjectives of Christmas and we're working through those. This week, we're going to be talking about peace. This whole season is about peace on earth, right? It's about the coming of Jesus Christ. And so we want to honor that. And you know, I was thinking the other day, where is the most peaceful place that you've ever been to? The most peaceful moment maybe in your entire life? Where was that and what was going on? And I have to say that this is a rock. And this rock actually is part of that peaceful journey for me. A few years ago, we went on a family vacation. You know, the kids, the grandkids, everybody was there. We went to Pigeon Forge. Love Pigeon Forge, you know, and we love going down to Gatlinburg and hanging out down there. And one day we decided that we were going to just find a nice quiet spot in one of the streams and just kind of hang out, let the kids play in the water. And so we got the opportunity to do that. And Jan and I are just kind of sitting in the shallow, you know, stream as it's flowing by, and it's full of rocks. And next thing you know, Jan picks this rock up. Now, guys, when you're on vacation and your wife picks up a rock like this, what's your first thought? Yeah, my first thought was she's going to hit me with this, you know, but she really didn't. She just kind of looked at it, and I picked it up after she was done with it, and I've held on to this rock ever since. Ever since that day, it's been sitting on my shelf over here, and it's a reminder every day of one of the most peaceful moments that we had, because we're just sitting there, just with each other, just talking and enjoying the water and watching the grandkids play. It was one of the most peaceful moments that I've experienced. And it's a very different feeling, isn't it? And so I'm very mindful of this and the opportunity that I had in that moment. And that began to kind of get me to thinking, how do we have a peaceful Christmas? You know, what does it truly mean to have peace in our life amidst all of the anxiety, all of the stress, all of the struggles, all of the stuff that we put in our life? You know, how do we have peace in the midst of that? And so we're going to be looking at four different scriptures this morning. And the first one is Isaiah 26:3. If you're taking notes, you can write that down. Isaiah 26:3. And then Colossians 3:15, 1 Peter 3:11, and Mark 4:39. Those are going to be our springboard text this morning. And as people continue to log on, hey, Kathy, hey, Randy, it's good to have you guys join us. Thanks for being here. And as we move forward with this, you know, I'm going to go back in the notes here in a little bit, and I'll post those scriptures, and so you have those. Isaiah 26:3, Colossians 3:15, 1 Peter 3:11, and Mark 4:39. And we're gonna jump off of this. Hey, Dustin, how you doing, buddy? I can't wait to see you next week, man. Missing me some Dustin Long, man. I'm telling you, you know, I love that guy. What a great youth minister. Oh, sorry, associate minister of youth and families we have at Central Park. And if you don't know Dustin, I pray you get a chance to get to know him and talk to him. Great guy, loves to share his faith with people. And so, but we're going to be talking about this peaceful journey and the way that we obtain peace through peace in our minds, peace in our hearts, and how we obtain this peace in our soul. But there's one other element that we often forget, and it's peace in our body. You know, I think one of the things that we tend to do is just go and go and go and go. You know, we try and be like the Energizer Bunny and just keep going until we finally fall over and force ourselves to rest. And so we're going to look at peace of mind and that anxiety. We're going to talk about that peace of our heart and the way that we stress ourselves out all the time. And that peace in our soul and the way that, you know, without peace and without comfort, we kind of get into some illnesses, you know, of anxiety and all of those things that develop. And then peace in our body and the way that we need that rest. Leanne, Diane, hey, guys, good to see you this morning. But one of the first things I want to talk about is that peace of mind. You know, when people tell you, hey, I want to give you a piece of my mind, usually it's not a good thing, you know. But I think we need to look at that and think of Jesus as our everlasting rock and the way that we can have this peace of mind and the way that we can kind of avoid some of that Christmas anxiety. St. Augustine said it this way. He said, the punishment of every disordered mind is its own disorder. I think of that quote. Let me say it again. The promise of every disordered mind is its own disorder. Now, if you look at Isaiah 26:3, he's actually talking about a city. He's talking about a way that they have this strong city, you know, and he's relating this to God and the way that God is our protection, the way that God builds walls and bulwarks and protects us. He's the righteous nation that keeps faith, and he lets those who keep that faith enter into that. And in verse 3, he says this, you keep him in perfect peace. Now, that perfect peace, I mean, how many of us would love to just be able to sit down in that perfect peace and just sit there and enjoy this Christmas season? Now, there's a little caveat to 26:3 because what he says here is simple. If you look at the end of it, he says, at the beginning, he says, those who you keep him in perfect peace, but the second piece of that is because he trusts in you. You see, I think the reason why we don't have this peace of mind all the time and walking around in this peaceful state is because we try and go about it our own way. We trust in ourselves. We trust in you know, what we've done. We trust in the been there, done that, instead of trusting in God. You see, I think that's the major issue that we face in our culture today, is this idea that we trust in other things. And all that God is telling us to do is just sit, have this peace of mind, knowing that God is in control, that he's going to take care of us, that he's going to protect us, that he's going to guide us, that he loves us beyond measure. And he simply says, trust in him. I love that phrase, mind stayed. I love that phrase, that it's a picture of our mind actually focused, no matter what's going on around us, on God. Now, I have to be honest. I don't think I have a mind that is stayed on God. We live in a real world, right? We live in a world full of struggles. Lisa, Barbara, hey guys, welcome aboard. You know, we live in a world that is full of temptation and struggle and strife and all kinds of things happening in our culture. And we always wind up somehow getting our focus off of God in those moments that it matters. I've looked over my life here the past couple weeks, and I'm noticing little trends that I'm not happy with. And so I'm making some intentional changes in my own life. And I'm sure that you're no different, that you have those moments where you could have had a mind that was stayed on God and accepted that peace of mind that comes from only knowing Him and trusting in Him, and yet we chose a different path. The perfect peace and with a stayed mind only comes when we trust in God. That's it, folks. That's the reality. That's only when it happens when we are focused on God. Secondly, you know, we're going to talk about peace in our hearts. And yeah, I work, you know, different jobs here and there. And I was down at the hospital here recently, and I saw a little flyer said that they had $49 heart scans. And, you know, I don't know if you've ever done that before, but it was intriguing to me. I wanted to be able to see it and see it function and, you know, look at all of the things that I've done to my heart and the stress and the 33-ounce prime rib steak probably didn't do it very much good. But, you know, I mean, all the things that we do to our arteries, to our heart. And, you know, I began to think about that. And one of the things I've always thought about is doing a stress test. You know, they put you on a treadmill and make you run for a while and fill you full of chemicals and it speeds up your heart rate. And I hear that's not very much fun. But, you know, I thought about doing that. But then I realized, you know what? I don't think I really want to know the results. I think I'll just leave it the way it is. So I think most of us struggle with the heart issue. And having peace in our hearts is one of the most difficult journeys for us sometimes. And I think it comes because we're human. And we get so jaded and upset by what other people do, and that affects our peace, and it affects us in all kinds of different ways. And then your stress level and your anxiety go up, and you just can't forgive that person for that one thing that they did to you 10, 15, 20 years ago, and that stress level develops, and then you just kind of spin out of control, if you know what I mean. And so Colossians 3:15 is our text for this one. And one of the things that I like about this text, and I'm going to try and read it here on my computer, says, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body." You see, if you remember the scripture in Isaiah, it's talking about a city full of people. And now you're looking at Colossians 3:15, and it's talking about the body as you're called together and the way that we're supposed to support one another. I think the important piece of the puzzle here is to let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. You see, I love how later on he talks about in this text how we are God's chosen, how we're holy, how we're beloved. We are the people of God, and yet here we are acting as if we're normal, human, everyday beings, and we don't have that knowledge that in our mind, that peace, and we don't have that peace in our hearts, and it looks very contrary to the way that God would have it to look. In verse 12, he's talking about putting on then as God's chosen, God's holy, and God's beloved. Have you called yourself God's chosen, God's holy, God's beloved? See, I think there's a different way for us to look at it. And looking at it from the sense that we are God's chosen ones. We are God's holy and beloved. He gave his one and only son that we might have life everlasting, and to not accept that peace in our hearts is discrediting that sacrifice. So let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. So how do we do that? See, I've wrestled with that so much this week. How do we do that? I can't tell you I've got it all figured out. I can't tell you I have it all under control. But I can tell you this, that scripturally, the way that we should be doing this is by displaying compassionate hearts, being kind, developing humility, finding meekness, finding patience. Oh, patience is the one that gets me every time. You know, I think I have a compassionate heart. I've been told that by others. I can be kind at times, right? I think we all have our moments. Humility, meekness, patience. But patience is the one that gets us every time. You know, I think that we need to bear with one another, that we need to love one another, forgive one another. But above all else, as the scripture says, it challenges us to put on love, that love is what binds all of that together in the scripture that he says it is perfect harmony. That's the blessing that we have, is that when we put all of this together, all of that compassion, that kindness, that humility, that meekness, that patience, when we put all of that together and we bear with one another, we forgive one another, above all else, it's wrapped in that love that binds it all together, and it's called perfect harmony, as the scripture calls it. Wouldn't you love to just live in that perfect harmony? Just to live in that moment? And, you know, I've always been curious about what our world would look like with perfect harmony in place. I just think it would be an amazing journey for us to experience. So you have that peace of mind, you have the peace of heart, and then peace in our soul. See, I think that here's the problem with our soul. Suffering has become this way of life for us. Suffering has become the thing that we cling to for some reason. Suffering has become that one thing that we just can't let go. And it's a sad state. Because if you are suffering in your soul, it's going to affect every part, every aspect of your life. Suffering has become a way of life. For some reason, as people, we somehow feel better under the guise and the weight of all of that stuff in our life. And when we let go of that suffering and we let go of those things, we feel out of control. We feel weird. And so what we try and do is pick that back up, because honestly, if you've lived in that suffering for so long, it becomes the norm. It becomes the thing that you can never escape, that thing that you can never get over or get beyond or get through. Suffering has become a way of life. And 1 Peter 3:11 tells us that that has no business in our life. That you, as a child of God, as God's chosen, as God's holy, as God's beloved, you should let go of all of that that weighs you down, that pigeonholes you into that one thing that you can never get over, and just trust and find peace in God. Now, I understand that it's easy for me to sit here in this chair, in my nice house, in my cushy, man cave, coming to you live on Facebook, preaching at you about all of the things that we need to get over. It's easy for me to say that. It's a much harder journey to do, and I understand that. But the process is the same. If you're not trusting in God with your mind, your heart, your body, your soul, what are you doing? We're leaning upon our own understanding, our own journey, our own thoughts, our own resources, our own ability to move beyond all of the struggles of this life. And we're allowing ourselves to be held captive by that one thing in our soul that's causing irreparable damage and harm to our lives. That's what we're doing. So 1 Peter 3, verse 11, it simply says, let's see, is that right? Well, I'm not sure I got the right one. Ah, yeah, there's 15 is what I want. 15 says, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body. That is first, it's going to be Colossians 3. I don't know how we got all mixed up here. Hang on a second. We're gonna pull out the trusty Bible. We're gonna actually look at it that way instead of relying on technology, right? Technology always lets you down some way, somehow, shape, or form. So in 1 Peter 3, we're actually talking about this journey of suffering from that for righteousness' sake. There's a blessed suffering, I guess, is a way to put it. In Scripture, he's talking about the things that we should be doing, you know, having that unity of mind. He's saying, having that sympathy, that brotherly love, that tender heart, that humble mind. And he's saying, we don't need to repay evil for evil. We need to forgive. And he says, on the contrary to all of those, that evil for evil, bless those. He's talking about those who desire to love life and see good days. Let him keep his tongue from evil. He's saying, let him turn away from evil. And then in verse 11, he says, let him seek peace and pursue it. It's not just enough to know about it or think about it, or be curious about it, or ponder the journey of finding peace. But he says we need to be seeking that peace and pursuing it. Now, I think he's drawing a line to two separate things. You know, there's theory and there's practice. Now, in theory, it's great to sit here and talk about peace in our soul and finding all of those moments where we can let go of those things in our life. In theory, that's great. But in practice, man, it's a whole different journey, isn't it? There's so much pain and struggle that this life can bring, and working through those things forces us to evaluate our life, and it becomes a struggle. You know, the best way I've found for us, or for me personally, to find peace in my soul, it's to trust in God, obviously, but then also, secondly, is to do something about it. You know, I have enjoyed for years going to mission trips or going to church camps and being part of those experiences, because it just gives us such a sheer peace and joy knowing that we're serving God and that we're following Him and we're trying to pursue that peace, not just think about what it would be like to have it. But I love the way that he says that we are to seek peace and pursue it. Well, finally, we're going to talk about peace in our body, because I think this is the number one area that we fail way too often. Here's the story of Jesus sleeping in a boat in Mark chapter 4, 39. They had just left went on this journey across the sea, and Jesus decides to take a nap, and this huge storm comes up. You remember the story, and Jesus wakes up and calms the waves and the wind and changes their story. But here's Jesus sleeping in a boat during a storm. You know, peace in our body means that we actually have time to rest. Have you found time to just sit back, take a nap, and rest? Maybe your rest on this day is finding the thing that, you know, Jan talks about a lot, is self-care and doing something for yourself. Have you done anything for yourself lately? Yes, I understand it's Christmas and Christmas is about others. I get that. But peace and having that peace of mind, peace of heart, peace of soul, and peace in our body simply means that we must find rest. And as Jesus stands up in the boat and he kind of rebukes them for being afraid, he says, what, don't you have faith? I don't know about you, but I don't really care for boats all that much. I like to go fishing, don't get me wrong, but to be out in the middle of the ocean fishing, I love to fish, but I could, probably do without that. But to think about being on a boat in the middle of the ocean, not being able to see the land, and all of a sudden a storm comes up, I'm pretty sure we'd be afraid. See, I don't think Jesus is saying you shouldn't be afraid in those moments, because I think fear is a normal, natural reaction. Now, I know Jesus says do not fear in the Bible, 360 some odd times. I get that. But what he's actually saying is not fear about those things. I think what he's saying is fear of life, or fear of faith issues, and fear in those moments. Now, I think in this moment particularly, he's not challenging their fear of death or their fear of the wind and the waves as much as he's challenging their fear and the way that it affects their faith. You know, here's Jesus taking a nap in a boat, showing them exactly what they should do. Could you imagine? Here they are, in this boat, and they're just, the wind's picking up, rain, storm, lightning, thunder, all of that's happening. And they just lay down next to Jesus, take a nap. I don't think that's the point of the story, but could you imagine if that actually happened? How would we report this story? What would we say about this journey if that actually occurred? See, I think we'd look at it very differently, wouldn't we? See, stressing out means less faith. How many times do we stress ourselves out so much to the point to where we can't even function anymore? You ever done that? Where you just have to go and take a nap, or you have to lay down? Sometimes people have taken it to the point where they've actually been admitted to the hospital because of that stress. You see, peace can bring this great lasting calm in your life if you allow it. And Jesus wants to give you that rest. Now, I think as we look at peace and as we choose to have that peace, peace on earth is what Christmas is all about. Here's the point to this message, and we're going to wrap up with this. Peace, having that peace, it's not about a state of mind. See, that was attempted back in the 60s, peace, man, and all of that stuff, and the way that they lived their life, it was attempted through a state of mind. See, peace is a whole body experience. It's a way of life. Peace cannot be obtained just in one area of your life. See, for you to have true and lasting peace, it has to come in your mind, your body, your soul, and your heart, only through trusting in Jesus Christ. I think what he's saying here is that everything must be surrendered to peace. John 14:27, and I'll leave you with this morning. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. See, Jesus is talking about this peace that is everlasting. And the only way to have that this morning is trusting in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You want to find true peace in your mind, peace in your heart, peace in your soul, and find peace in your body? The way to that is only through Jesus Christ and his love for you. I pray that you accept Jesus today. Maybe you're here and you're thinking about accepting Christ and you've never done that before. Send us a message. We'd love to be praying for you. We'll talk with you as you journey through this. We'll visit with you. We'll do whatever we can to help guide you in your faith journey. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, you know what? Preacher, I would just like a little bit of peace of mind, peace in my body, peace in my heart, my soul, but I'm working through this. Maybe it's about finding the opportunity to reach out to people in your community and saying, you know what, I'm struggling. I could use some help in this area. We'll be praying for you. What if that's your need? Maybe and maybe you're wanting to rededicate your life. Whatever that need is, won't you let us know? We'll be praying for you. We love you guys. Let's pray, and we'll finish this up. Father God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you that you love us beyond measure. That peace on earth truly does come during this Christmas season as we recognize and honor and celebrate the birth of Christ. Father, as we accept peace in our minds, our heart, our body, our soul, may you grant that and may you honor that and may we recognize that we are your chosen, your holy, your beloved ones. Father, we love you. We praise you. Thank you for all you're doing through us and the way that you're working on us today. We love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, God bless you. We'll see you live in person next week. Take care.